And God was pleased with that, because he was about God's people that Solomon was asking for. He sincerely wanted to take care of God's people. Listen now, here's a nugget. When you care about God's people, when you help people and care about them, watch this, God will take care of you. Amen. Amen. You can't go wrong helping somebody else. So he has this wonderful beginning. His worldwide fame and wisdom and prosperity and the extent of his kingdom is not something that one can even describe. Yet here are a few descriptions that we find in 1 Kings 4, 20 and 21. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They were very contented, watch this, with plenty to eat and drink. That was under Solomon's rule. And ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River in the north to the land of the Philistines and the border of Egypt in the south. The conquered people of those lands send tribute money then to Solomon, and they continue to serve him throughout his lifetime. God gave Solomon much wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands on the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. His fame spread throughout all of the surrounding nations. And you find in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, where he composed 3,000 proverbs. And it says he wrote 1,005 songs. He could speak with authority about all kind of plants, from the great cedars of Lebanon to that tiny hyssop that grows from cracks in a wall. He could also speak about animals and birds and small creatures and fish. And we find kings from every nation sent their ambassadors just to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. We could say he had it all together. He knew everything about everything because God gave him this immense ability to retain knowledge so he could speak about anything. And many of us know the story where the Queen of Sheba came to visit him. She had heard about Solomon, and when she went and she spent time with him, she ended up saying what she had been told, that this was awesome. She said, "I've been here and I've seen your tables and I've seen how you serve." And the Queen of Sheba said, "The half has not been told." Solomon was the man, and he built the temple that David had told him to build. And David had given him the plans for the temple. And David had given him almost all the materials for it. So Solomon built it, and when it came time to dedicate the temple, he prayed a prayer considered the longest prayer in the Bible. Stay with me. This is the biography of Solomon. He completed everything he had planned to do, and when the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had done before at Gibeon, the Lord said to him, "I've heard your petition. I've set this temple apart to be holy. This place you have built where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. But if you or your descendants abandon me," and that word means turn your back on me, "and disobey the commands and decrees that I've given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel, my chosen people. I brought them to the land, and I will kick them out of the land. I'll uproot them. I'll reject them. I'll reject this temple that I've made holy to honor my name. I'll knock down the very temple that I helped you build. I will make Israel an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations if you turn away and turn your back on me." Oh, what a life Solomon had, if only it could have ended there. Listen to what he received each year. annually. He received 25 plus tons of gold from those other states that owed him, that were under subjection to him. He built 200 large gold shields for one of his palaces. He had like a half a dozen palaces built. He had 300 smaller shields built just for decoration. He spent more time building his own palace, the Bible says, than it took to build the temple of God. It was like 7 years for the temple, and it took him 13 years to build his own palace. He had a throne of ivory that someone made for him, overlaid with gold. And guess what? He did not drink from red Solo cups like you and I do. Nor plastic cups or glass ones. No. His cups were made of gold. He had a fleet of ships for trading. He had 12,200 chariots. Even though God had forbidden chariots to be made for the people of Israel, because he wanted them to trust in him. And he had horses. Not just like the horses you have in the see over in the neighbor's field. No, these were the best. They were from Egypt. So there was no one like Solomon, no one on the face of the earth. And then we have this about Solomon, which we could say was very concerning. Solomon, who had everything he had and what God had given him and warned him about. We find Solomon loved many foreign women beside Pharaoh's daughter. He married women from Moab and Ammon and Edom and Sidon and from among the Hittites, whom the Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods. God was saying to the people, and everyone knew it, you only marry inside the covenant people. We're Jews, we're Israel, we're God's chosen, we're descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we marry. And I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care how much money she has or who she's connected to. You don't marry foreign women. Now understand that for us today, there's not that command in the Bible. Except there is this in the New Testament. Listen to this. You don't marry an unbeliever. Because they can turn your heart away from God. Oh, Pastor, don't worry. I'm going to convert them after we get married. No, you better be careful. They might convert you. You don't start a marriage by marrying someone who doesn't love Jesus like you do with all their heart. Understand, to save a heartache, guess what? We're not smarter than God. He loves you and me more than any that we could imagine. And when he gives us warning, guess what? It's for our good. Yet we find in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, verse 2, Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. In other words, oh, I love her. I ain't giving up on her. Whatever God says, I'll justify it some way. Why be so narrow-minded? The Hittites are as good as the Jews. And so we find he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And yes, they did turn his heart away from God. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God. And as his father David had been, he ended up at the end of his life worshiping filthy gods. They turned his heart. Solomon worshiped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians. You can look that up about her. Molech, that detestable god of the Ammonites, where they gave their children sacrificed over in the fire for Molech. And in this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. Listen, he refused. He knew exactly what he was doing. You've got to know that. He could not claim ignorance because God had told him. The Lord appeared to him twice. Listen, he wrote 3,000 Proverbs and he doesn't know? Oh, he knew right from wrong. He just refused to do right. Solomon built shrines for all of his foreign wives to use for burning incense and sacrificing to their gods. And he did that with forced labor. He took the people of Israel that were under him and he forced them to build temples for the idols. And he taxed the people where they couldn't take it anymore. In fact, after he died, there was a civil war. And Israel never was united again in the rest of the Old Testament times of the kings. And because of the mess that Solomon had made taxing people and making them work to build temples for the false gods of his wives. And of course we find then the Lord was very angry with Solomon. For his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And he had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods. But Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command. So now the Lord said to him, "Since you've not kept my covenant and obeyed my decrees, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants." And so we look at this biography of Solomon. Why in the world did God take up so much time in the Old Testament to tell us this kind of story? Let's get this straight. As a young king, humble like a child, when God says, "I'll give you what you ask for," and we see he asked for wisdom and understanding to be a good king and take care of his people. And the Lord appears to him twice, and then comes all the blessings. And now at the end of his life, he's a fumbling old fool walking around raising more money to build idols, to build temples for the idols that God said, "I hate them." Can I remind us that there are things that God hates? And as a child of God, when you don't hate what God hates, you better watch out. Because trouble will find you. So again, why is this in the Bible? We're Christians. I'm born again. I got it. So there must be a reason. And Solomon, we find, goes off into eternity. And we find over in Hebrews chapter 11, when it gives you the chapter of the heroes of the faith, guess what? Solomon is never mentioned. We're not God, and no, we can't judge anyone. But if you're using your last days on this earth to build temples for filthy, disgusting idols, even though you know better, I just don't see it ending well. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 2, verses 1 and 2 says for you and me. Here's what it says. "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through the angels," that's the Old Testament law, "has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished," just like Solomon. Verse 3. "So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak?" Well, let me ask, if in the Old Testament you sinned against the law, what kind of punishment then is going to come if you now turn your back on Jesus and the gospel? "Well, Pastor, that can't happen. I read in somebody's book and it says that cannot happen." Listen then, How about this one from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12? Just to put the icing on the cake for us. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. It can happen. Oh, no, Pastor, I have a new heart and I have a new mind. I'm a Christian. Listen. He's writing to us to make sure our own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Verse 13, you must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Verse 14, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, watch this, then we will share in all that belongs to Christ. If we endure, we're going to reign with Him. Guess what? That's something to shout about. Amen. So what does it mean to endure to the end? It means every day we need to keep going. We need to keep trusting. We need to keep loving God and loving one another. Keep talking to God. Keep worshiping Him. Keep praising Him. And that's why we meet together. Do you know why that is so important? Because you and I need that. We need it. Every time we gather together, listen, we get encouraged by each other and by the Word of God, whether it's taught or preached or sang about, or spoken through a testimony. God can speak to us His Word through every one of those venues. And if you get to the place where you don't need any of that, watch out. You open the door for the enemy then to come in. So we need this because we need our hearts turned repeatedly. And yes, I completely understand those situations where you just can't be here. I understand all of that. And I thank God for the technology to bring our services to those that's unable to be here at times. I thank God that even though I came screaming and hollering, Brandon pulled me into it. January of 2020, back in the fall, Brother North and I had gone to the conference, and we got back. Dad, we need to go on Facebook. No. Need to go on YouTube. Need to get the word out. No, I don't want to. I'm happy sharing it with this little group right here. Guess what? God had other plans. I'm glad we obeyed. Amen. Get in the Bible every day. Spend some time alone with the Lord. Get your heart turned. Why is that so important? Because the way you live is going to come from your heart. And that takes us then back to our scripture text in Proverbs. I'm going to land the plane. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Understand with me that Solomon wrote that. He wrote that when he was right with God. Guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. And then guess what? He got deceived and went down the wrong road. Lord, help us not to be deceived by the enemy. Hear me now. You might can quote the Bible forwards and backwards. You might be can speak in other tongues with the best of them. But if your heart is not right, you will end up like Solomon. And I'm here today to declare it loudly. And I believe you'll agree, I'm not turning back. Neither are you. We're not turning back. Let's guard our heart, because if Satan can get Solomon, he'll come after you and he'll come after me. So as I land this plane, Brother Galen, we're going to let you sit it out today, brother. You don't have to come up. Can I tell you that every day is a battle in spiritual warfare? How did Solomon get from where he was in the beginning to where he ended up? Number one, it was a process over time. It did not happen overnight. Do you understand that? Listen, don't do like Solomon and go from the Lord appearing and making the powerful prayer and dedicating the temple to the end of your life a decrepit old man worshiping idols. Don't let that happen. That means all of us are either growing and getting closer to God, or we're gradually moving away from Him. Do you understand what I just said? Oh, don't tell me, Pastor. Pastor, I was young and fervent and emotional. Now, Pastor, I've gotten mature and I'm settled in now, Pastor. No, 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 no. I'm sorry, you're backslid. You're moving away from God. Don't let the devil play you like that. When Solomon was marrying all those wives, don't you think God was tugging at his heart? Don't you think there was nights that he could not sleep? And the enemy comes and says, now listen, don't be narrow-minded. All those girls are nice people too. And they always seem, and there always seems to be a justification for our wrong. Do you realize that? People can justify their sins. Understand something with me this morning. There's no staying in one place with God. You're either always growing, moving higher, going deeper, or you're declining and sliding downhill. Solomon started to decline. And guess what? It was like the momentum grew stronger and stronger, and he could not stop that decline. So number one, again, it was a process. It was not overnight. And then number two, all of that wealth and that material stuff probably drowned out the voice of God. So he had all of this grandeur, and he still lost out. He had everything, including the gold cups, and he lost God. He had all of those fine women, and he lost God. What a snare and what a trap. Today, let's not be wise in our own eyes. Amen. The Bible says just trust Him. Do what He says for you to do. And guess what? By His grace, we're not going back. Amen. People may laugh at us and call us foolish fanatics, but we know in whom we have believed. Amen? Let's all stand together. So I say, Jesus, I thank You that You loved me today. No matter what I've done, wrong or right, You love me and You're with me. And yes, thank You, Lord, that You can turn my mess into a blessing. Amen. Help us, Lord, today to just unload whatever we're dealing with. Teach us to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And our hearts will stay true to the Lord. Thank You, Lord. For those watching online, we love You, God.